Three, two, one. Hey, internet friends, this is Magic Brad with Synergy Cafe and the Synergy Lifestyle Academy. And I've got a friend on here I just met, and his name is Steve Schneider. Are you there, Steve?
I'm here.
We can hear you loud and clear. It's good. I'm up here in sunny Minnesota, and I think you said you were from Arizona.
Yep, Sedona, Arizona, I'm at right now. Beautiful Sedona. Country.
Yeah, all those. I was through Utah. And similar kind of stuff driving through there. I've never been to Arizona. My nephew was in Arizona for a while, and I should have visited, but I haven't been there. It's beautiful, yeah. I understand.
It's gorgeous.
And Sedona's got that, there's a lot of like the woo-woo people down there, right?
A lot of woo-woos here. More UFO sightings in Sedona than any other place in the world.
More than Roswell, right? So, Steve, are you married and got kids and that kind of thing?
Yeah, married, three sons. In fact, our youngest son is with us here, waiting out the coronavirus. So, it's the three of us here right now at our place in Sedona.
Yeah, isn't that just a strange thing? It's just bizarre. I've never experienced. I'm only 62 years old, but I've never experienced anything like this before.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's for sure. But we're all safe, and we're having a nice time here.
Well, similar thing. I'm me, my wife, and our dog. Little three in a pod. So I read a little bit about. Go ahead.
Our youngest son, he's scheduled to get married in October. So hopefully this will all be over by then.
Well, I'm in the event business, and part of the people that I promote to are wedding planners. And a lot of people don't realize it, but if a venue closes, the event closes. There's no wedding planners, there's no limousine, there's no photographer, there's no videographer, there's no dress, there's no music, there's no food. All done. So
yeah.
It's a ripple effect and all that. So, but it'll all come back. We will survive. We've been through worse, I think.
Yes, we will.
So I read a little bit about what you got. You wrote a book, and your father, I believe, was a pilot. Is that true?
Yes. He was a B-17 pilot in the 8th Air Force, and he flew bombing missions over occupied Europe. And on February 8th of 1944, he and his crew were shot down over occupied Belgium. Well, the book goes into detail about what happened to each member of the crew and about all the Belgian people that risked their lives trying to help them.
Wow. I can't imagine what that would be like surviving something like that, because being just crashing in an airplane without being shot at, it's got to be I don't even know how to relate to it.
Yeah, it was pretty horrific. They were attacked by two German Focke-Wulf fighters, and two of the B-17 had a 10-man crew. Two of the crew were killed in the plane when it was attacked, and the other eight were able to bail out. Five of the crew members came back home, but five of them did not. So five survived and five of them didn't. After my dad was shot down, he bailed out and came down into some trees. He was missing in action for 7 months, but he evaded capture. He was hidden by Belgian people for a while, and then he got tired of hiding. So he joined the French resistance and started sabotaging German convoys until the U.S. armies came up through France after D-Day and liberated. Oh, it's quite a story. It's just not about my dad. It's about what happened to each member of his crew, because something different happened to each guy.
Well, it's bizarre, the whole concept of war. And I took a trip over to Amsterdam, and then we took a tour of the Anne Frank House.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't imagine. I mean, it's just really strange feeling that kind of energy and stuff. I can't imagine being in this situation. I've been in the martial arts, but that's a competition where we both agree that we're going to do this. But being in a situation where you're just flying along and someone starts bombing your plane, that's got to be strange. So did you hear from your dad I'm assuming that your father's passed by now.
Yes. He died in 2007 at 91. He wasn't the last crew member to die, but he was the oldest.
Wow.
And I've been to Belgium 6 times. My first time was in 1994, when my wife and I accompanied my parents for the 50th anniversary of the liberation of Belgium. and of my dad's plane being shot down. And that's when it became personal for me, because a lot of the houses and farms that he stayed in and that was hidden in are still there today. So I've been in these houses or farms, been in rooms where my dad was hidden. So I get chills just talking about it.
I know that's a weird thing. Like I was saying, is at that Anne Frank house, you can just feel the situation. I mean, people that don't believe in that kind of stuff, like spirits and ghosts and stuff, you just feel it. It's just a strange situation. How many different places did he stay when he was over there?
Oh gosh, he was moved around a lot from place to place when he's being hidden. He might spend one night at one house or 6 weeks at another place. It all depended on how brave the people were who lived there and how dangerous the Belgium underground thought it was for him to stay there. Wow. And the people who hid my dad, or any downed airmen for that matter, were unbelievably brave people. I mean, they risked not only their lives, but those of their family and friends, because if the German secret police, the Gestapo, found out about it, they'd be arrested, tortured, and either shot or sent to concentration camps. And some of the people who helped my dad and other members of his crew didn't meet that fate.
Was it that kind of thing where he's at a place, all of a sudden he hears that footsteps are going to be coming, so you got to pack up and get the hell out of there?
Yeah, there's several instances described in the books where he was almost discovered by the Gestapo. One occasion he had to go up on the roof and spent the whole night on top of the roof because the Germans were patrolling that area. So it was very stressful on my dad, you know, being hidden. I think that's one reason why he got tired of hiding and wanted to get back into the fight. That's why he joined the French Resistance, which was unbelievably courageous and brave to do, because he could have died fighting the Germans, or if they had captured him, he would have been shot on the spot as a terrorist.
Sure. I guess I'm a coward, because if someone starts shooting at me, I'm going the other direction. You know?
Yeah.
Do you have a copy of your book with you?
Yeah. Got one right here. This is the book. This is the hardcover book. It's available in hardcover, paperback, all ebook formats, and also an audio book. But in the print book, there's over 200 time period photographs, so you can visualize everything you're reading about, which makes a huge difference.
And it's on Amazon, I'm assuming?
Pardon?
Okay. It's on Amazon, I'm assuming?
Yeah, most people get the book on Amazon. About 60% of all the books sold are purchased on Amazon. If someone wants an autographed copy, they can go to my website. It's stevesnyderauthor.com, S-N-Y-D-E-R. Okay. And there on the homepage, there's a little button that you can get a personally signed copy of the book.
And it's called Shot Down.
Shot Down, the true story of pilot Howard Snyder, my father, and the crew of the B-17 Susan Ruth. His plane was named after my oldest sister, one year old at the time that he went overseas.
Well, you got one. I bet you got one heck of a family reunion when people get together.
Yeah, we're spread around in different parts of the country, so we don't get to see each other too much, but we keep in touch.
You can do these virtual Zooms, and you can get a whole bunch of people on the screen.
Exactly.
Doing it these days. So what inspired you to write the book? I know that you're proud of your father and things like that, but was there something else that just said, you know what, I got to write about this?
Yeah, I knew the basics of my dad's story growing up, but it wasn't until I retired in 2009 that I had the time to really delve into my dad's war history in more detail. And my parents had kept a lot of material from the war years that I just wanted to go through and organize and learn a little bit more. And there were two items that were really significant. One was a diary that my dad wrote while he was missing in action about his plane being shot down, which is absolutely riveting. It's in the book. And then the other item were all the letters that my dad wrote to my mother while he was stationed in England before he got shot down.
Cool.
And reading those letters were just absolutely fascinating. And I just became fascinated with the story of my dad and his crew, and became my passion. And three years into my research, I just came to the conclusion that the story of my dad and his crew was so unique and so compelling that it needed to be told. People needed to know about it. So I decided to write a book.
So when you got all the data and stuff, was a lot of it like scattered around different dates and times, and you kind of had to pull it all together and get it into like some kind of chronological order?
Yeah, the biggest challenge, I was really fortunate to have so much information. It's all based on firsthand testimony by the people who were involved in the events that took place, either members of my dad's crew, members of the Belgium underground, or declassified military documents. What I added was just a lot of historical information and anecdotes about surrounding the war to put it into the context and give it background. I probably wouldn't have written a book, though, if it wasn't for two Belgian gentlemen, Jacques Malot and Paul Delahaye, who were young boys during the war, greatly affected by it. And later in life, they became local historians, and they interviewed all these members of the Belgium underground about events involving my dad and his crew, and they documented their testimony, and they gave me unbelievably detailed information about events that would have been lost forever without their dedicated research. So I owe them a huge debt.
So how did you get all the photos and things? That must have been a lot of work digging all that kind of stuff, especially.
Well, no, again, I was fortunate there. A lot of the people who hid my dad sent him pictures after the war. So my dad had a lot, and then Jacques Malot and Paul Delahaye also provided me with lots of pictures. So there's many of the pictures were taken by Belgian people in 1944 during the war. Incredible pictures.
Well, you lucked out there, made your job a little bit easier.
Yeah.
I just had another thought, and it was in my head when I asked that question, and now it disappeared. It was something else that I wanted to ask about. Ah, it's unfortunate.
One of the most amazing things in my journey of writing this book is that I found the German Luftwaffe pilot that shot down my dad's plane and interviewed him for the book.
We become friends.
Yeah. He's the only person in the shot down story who's still living. His name's Hans Berger. He lives in Munich, Germany. He's 96 years old. And fortunately for me, he became a translator after the war, so he speaks perfect English. He gave me some wonderful information that's in the book about what it was like to go up against the 8th Air Force.
There, I got it. The book. The book's right there, Shot Down. So if I remember what I was going to ask about, I think I read in there that you do talks and things. You travel around and speak about this situation.
Yeah, basically, even though I retired in 2009, I'm working full time again for Pony and the Book. I go to air shows all around the United States, signing copies. I do quite a bit of speaking, making PowerPoint presentations about the book and the 8th Air Force and what it was like flying combat missions over occupied Europe and Germany.
I was just going to ask who is your audience for that? And you just answered it. It's air shows. You ever been to the Flying Cloud airfield up here in Minneapolis? It's in
Eden Park. I've been to Minnesota. Steve. I've been up to the, I'm having a, couple places in Minnesota I've spoken. There's the mind.
Me too. I'm 62 and sometimes the stuff just leaves you, you know?
Yeah, well, I turned 73 years old today, so I guess I'm having a senior moment on my birthday.
Happy birthday. Let all that stuff go. Well, there's an airport here called the Flying Cloud Airport. It's not a big airport, but it's down in like southwestern Twin Cities, and they do an air show over there. I've seen. So I thought, who knows? Maybe is that where you travel around to? Is a lot of the air? Do you do any marketing for what you're speaking, or just people find you?
Well, I spend hours on the internet every day in social media. Contacting people about the book or promoting the book, but I've been doing this for a few years now, so the word's gotten out, and it's changed my life. You know, I had no idea that what would occur, and that I'd have this new career after writing this book. But it's been successful. It's won almost 30 book awards. It has a 5-star rating on Amazon. So it's an amazing story. Again, you know, all based on firsthand testimony.
You ever have a thought of maybe doing a movie?
Well, a lot of people who read the book say it should be made into a movie. It actually would be a better miniseries because there's so much and different people and different avenues you can go down. My youngest son and I, along with a couple other people, we made a little documentary short, a 13-minute documentary short that I've entered into a number of film festivals, which unfortunately a number of them this year now have to be streamed. because they can't be shown in theaters, but it's done pretty well there. It's been accepted into quite a few film festivals and won some awards. So hopefully that'll attract some attention and maybe interest in making it into a movie.
Well, you know, that's one of my things with this whole internet thing is you never know what's going to happen, who's going to pick up what for what reason. So it's just a matter of throw it out there and who knows, somebody might Google some word and poof it. Hey, that's exactly what I was looking for.
There's so much out there. You never know.
Stranger things have happened with this internet stuff. I remember there's a thing called the One Red Paperclip where a guy up in Canada traded a paperclip and he traded it up, kept on paperclip for a pen for a notebook, notebook for a Walkman radio, Coleman stove, camper. Eventually it was for a house. He traded up to a house.
Oh, that's quite a story.
Yeah, and he just documented it all. So who knows, maybe you'll start like a play or something. There's a friend of mine that started a play here called Triple Espresso, and it was just a few guys got together and just started in a church basement. So who knows, maybe you end up doing a traveling play about it or something.
Yeah, you never can tell. You know, that like I said, yeah, I've been to Belgium six times, and we've done a lot of filming over there, so we have a lot of footage. In fact, I interviewed Hans Berger, the German Luftwaffe pilot, and part of that interview was in this little 13-minute documentary.
That's got to be weird. Now, is that the guy that shot him down?
Yes, and actually the gunners on my dad's plane shot Hans Berger down at the same time. They shot each other down. He bailed out, and he made it through the war.
Yeah. Well, that's got to be weird, too. I'm connecting with somebody that was your enemy, you know?
Yeah, but pretty much he was like a U.S. airman. He was, you know, a young guy, 20 years old, you know, fighting for his country, trying to do a job and trying to stay alive. He said it was unfortunate they had to be shooting at each other, but, you know, that was war. That was their job, and that's what they were there to do.
Yeah, I guess it's like that, like in the martial arts, two guys going at each other, and then when they're done, they're buddies.
Yeah, Hans was shot down three times. He was really fortunate to make it through the war.
Oh my God, I can't imagine. It'd just be so bizarre. Like I said, I never even been shot at, other than with a pea shooter.
Yeah, they, those guys, you know, who went and fought, you know, they were the greatest generation. Amazing, amazing men. Yeah, they were just either late teens and early 20s. You know, a lot of these guys just out of high school, never been out of their hometown before. Some of them, because back then the U.S. was very a rural, you know, country.
That's another strange thing. Someone so young going into something so dangerous. It's bizarre.
Absolutely.
Well, Steve, I don't like to do these too long because I want to keep them tight enough where people can consume all the information. And then what I'm going to do is beam it up to the universe and propagate it out to the internets. And we'll see what happens from there. And when I send that out, I'll connect with you on social media too. And if you could share it just like I do, that's where the synergy part comes in. And we'll propagate this thing out on the internet. So how do people get a hold of you then? So what's your website so they can find you?
SteveSnyderAuthor.com. That's SNYDER. SteveSnyderAuthor.com. And I'm on LinkedIn as well as Facebook. I have a personal page on Facebook as well as an author page on Facebook.
Got it.
And there's a ton of information on my website. It's not about the book, but there's lots of videos, interviews on the website, links to different movies and archival footage about the air war over Europe. It's a lot of information on my website about the war.
Yeah, what I do is I'll probably just Google Steve Schneider shot down and see what comes up, and then I tie everything all together. That's how I
do it. There you go. Yeah.
Well, Steve, I appreciate you taking the time today, and enjoy the weather down there in Sedona, and I'll try and enjoy it up here in Minnesota.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks again.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Good, enjoy it.